Well, lastly this week, that story by Pat O'Brien of Haslington and Rossendale, his first for Right Now. Alan Bezick reads The Wine Bottle, The Glory, and The Killer.
And the winner by a knockout, Joe Killer Malloy!
Must have taken about 5 minutes before the sweet smell of victory turned into the stench of death. That's what my dad always called it. The sweet smell of victory. Stale sweat, fresh sweat, the smell of fear, pain, and blood. I didn't realize at the time that the smell of booze and tobacco on his breath was the smell of his own failure as a boxer, or that those habits would kill him no more than a year after I would finally turn around and beat the crap out of him. I remember that big punch bag down Freddy's gym. Couldn't be hurt, couldn't be bloodied, but somehow I had to beat it. Come on, killer, it used to hiss at me, or rather my dad, who held onto it from behind, did. Became the bag's voice to me, though, and I laid into it with everything I had. Years later, I'd always know when I was going to win early by a knockout, because I'd hear that voice as I climbed into the ring, and I heard it tonight. I heard it tonight. My dad's words became my promise to the world. I've got no respect for anyone who tries to take my belt. I'd have stuffed his nose into the back of his brain if I'd had to. I'd kill before I'd lose this. And you can quote me on it. Let them know. A headline to strike fear into the heart of any opponent. No, it strikes fear into me. Because if this guy doesn't pull through, then the whole world's going to know that I finally fulfilled my promise to them. The strange thing is, I don't think I'll ever hear that voice again. Maybe not. Maybe the next time I can bring myself to face that bloody ring, if I ever can. Maybe I'll hear it then. But he won't say those words, that's for sure. So what will I hear if this numbness ever fades away? What's the voice of my dead father going to say in the face of this? And what's going to happen to me when he says it? I had the fear of losing when I was a kid. It was a big fear. Fear of God. Fear of my father. I'll never be able to lose the memory of being woken up in the middle of the night. My body being shaken by some massive force. The smell of stale booze and tobacco that told me who it was even before my eyes could adjust to the darkness. Come on, killer. Get up and fight. No use in beauty sleep. No point in that, boy. Up! The silhouette of my mother suddenly in the doorway. Her small, pleading voice. Let him alone, John. He needs sleep. He's got school. He's just a boy, not a man. Dad was good in his younger days. A promising middleweight up until the time when the fruits of victory started becoming more important to him than victory itself. Another good one, John. Get that down your neck, killer. He always did, of course. Failure reared its ugly head about the same time that I reared mine. Suddenly the game changed. The responsibility was now in the hands of yours truly. I made the victories. He took the fruits. That's how he'd planned it. That's how it was from the moment I was born. It was a good way out for my father, and I carried the fear of his failure. It haunted us both. You can't lose, remember? You're a killer, remember? My mother had long since been beaten down to size. I suppose a failed boxer, like any other kind of failure, needs a punch bag that's going to fold every time someone or something is bigger than. And me, standing there as he dragged her from the room, standing there shaking from the cold in the night and helplessness of the situation. Bloody helplessness. I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry. Don't, please. My father was bigger than all of us for a while. I suppose it was when I discovered that men respect men who can physically harm other men, and that women are attracted to them, that blind fear turned into blind pride. Of course, when I turned pro and the money started rolling in, that just put the seal of truth on it all. Suddenly, it was my game too. I'd just beaten Joe McPherson in my second pro fight when I paid my folks the visit. Mum gave me the usual hug and the, "I'm glad you won, son. I'm glad you wasn't hurt." But I could sense that something was wrong. It wasn't until she pulled away from me that I saw the bruises on her arms. There was more pain in that woman's face than me and McPherson together when we stood there fighting toe to bastard toe. Dad came in with a big grin on his face, opening his arms as he came to me, and I chinned him on the spot. Down he went, down! After all those years, I'd finally handed his failure back to him, and back for keeps. It was my game now. Mum just knelt over him, crying, and all she could say was, "He'll only take it out on me later. He's your father." There's nothing I could do about those things, so I left. I was free now, free to look at myself in the mirror and say, "Come on, killer, come on. My own man, me and Frankenstein's bloody monster. My own man, my ass." And I believed it all until tonight. Even when my dad died, it didn't matter. I still had his voice where it counted, although I didn't see it that way then. It had become my own voice, you see, years ago. My own voice. The thing is, they've got it all right there in the press, word for word and pound for pound. I'm a killing machine. One day, I'll kill. Any man who tries to steal my title had better be prepared to lay down his life in the fight. Whether he lives or dies as a result is of no concern of mine. I handed those words out to the press like they were sweeties, and they grabbed them like they was. So now I've got to face the music. Probably going to have to sit there in some press conference and tell them those words were just hype, just effect. But I feel for the man and his family that I never meant to do him any harm. I can already picture the little sniggers coming from the guys who talked to me in the past. "My heart goes out to his family. Is that the same killer heart you told us about last week, Joe?" I'm going to sit there and tell them that I was just selling the show to the public. I'm going to sound more like my manager than my manager. They're going to know it. But then, how can I expect anyone to believe me when I don't know whether or not I believe myself? Did I mean it all those times? Did I mean it tonight as I tore through his defense and stuffed his brain up into the back of his skull? Did I really give a damn so long as he stayed down for the count? Truth is, I don't know. I don't suppose I ever will. Maybe if I ever hear that voice again, it'll tell me the score. The bastard always did before.
"Mr. Malloy, the family have gone now. You can go in and see him for a couple of minutes."
Right. Thanks, Doctor.
The Wine Bottle, The Glory, and The Killer. The Boxer's Tale by Pat O'Brien, read by Alan Beddick.